You are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I am Jeff Garcia, and this is Locked On Spurs. Welcome back to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your San Antonio Spurs got some good news recently. The return of Rudy Gay back from left wrist injury, and he played a critical part in the Spurs come from behind win versus Dallas on the road. We're going to be talking about Rudy Gay and his importance to the team this season. And to close this episode of Locked On Spurs, could we be witnessing the end of an era in San Antonio? Could Coach Pop be on his way out after this season? We're going to put that in the spotlight. And to do that and more, I'm joined by Jim Lefko, my colleague over at News 4 San Antonio. Jim, welcome back to Locked On Spurs. And we're going to talk about one of your favorite players, Rudy Gay.
I guess I've made that pretty apparent that I'm a big member of the Rudy Gay fan club. I just like his overall game, his court sense. You know, it's pretty obvious when he's on the court, the Spurs are a better team. And when he's not, they're a lesser team. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty apparent, you know, last night. I don't think they win that game without him. The whole team didn't show up for the first quarter, but the quarters 2, 3, 4 were pretty good. And he ended up, you know, having a solid game, 14 points, 6 of 11 from the field in his first game back. And again, just that veteran savvy on the court. And I think that's why I'm so happy and comfortable when I see him out there.
What makes him so critical for the Spurs' offensive and defensive attack? Is it simply just his veteran presence? Is it simply just his athleticism? This is a guy that's coming off a horrible injury prior to coming to San Antonio 2 seasons ago with the Kings. What makes him so special?
Well, a couple things. He's finally, I think, healthy. You know, that first year back from an Achilles is a tough one, and I think he played through probably a little bit of discomfort, but now he's not even thinking about it, and he doesn't have to worry about his body, and that frees his head to focus on what's most important. He's also the third leading scorer on the team, the second leading rebounder. He's hit about 52% of his shots from the field, 51.2 actually, and shoots 85% from the free throw line. Throw in 6.5 rebounds a game and a couple assists, and you see a guy who he may not be a threat to do a triple-double ever anytime soon, but I think the fact that he's a smart player, he doesn't turn the ball over much, he plays solid defense, and he gives the Spurs a third option. You know, DeRozan and Aldridge haven't always been on at the same time, and when one of them might be struggling with their shot, there's Rudy Gay to pick up more of that mid-range game that the Spurs are making famous around the NBA in an era when that's supposed to be out of vogue.
Yeah. When he was out dealing with the left wrist injury, the Spurs seemed to sputter. Was there something the Spurs could have done to replace what Gay brings them while he was out? Or is it simply just a matter of holding down the fort till he gets back?
Well, I think it's comfort. You know, for a couple of games, they used Pau Gasol in the starting lineup. And, you know, a lot of fans are not big fans of Pau Gasol these days. And it's pretty obvious that, you know, his best days are behind him. I still think Gasol provides value. He's a good passer and rebounder, limited offensively. And you know, foot speed is never going to be his strength. But I think Gay gives you a lot more at that spot. So it's not exactly that they play the same position because Aldridge slides over and kind of plays the center position when Gay's out there at one of the forward spots. But they're a quicker team, you know, with Gay in the starting lineup than they are with Gasol. I think they're better defensively. They just present more problems for teams matching up with them. And when they do the pick and roll, Gay is you know, much better out on the perimeter than somebody like Gasol. So I think it's just substituting a really strong player for, you know, at this point in Gasol's career, maybe an average player. And I think the Spurs are better off again anytime they can get Rudy Gay out there because his teammates seem to get a little bit more confidence playing alongside him.
I'm glad you brought up teammates because when he is on the floor, that combination of him, DeMar, LaMarcus, it seems to work. It seems to click. I'm just glad to see it come together rather quickly. I mean, yes, the Spurs did stumble to start the season. Did not look like Spurs basketball we're seeing right now. But talk about that chemistry. What does that do for those three guys?
Well, I think it's just one of those intangibles that, you know, we can try and quantify it with numbers, but I think you just see a more cohesive unit. They play together at both ends of the court, offensively and defensively. You know, Gay's been through the wars. He's been a lot of different teams and a lot of different environments, and not much seems to faze him. You know, he's kind of one of those veterans who's seen probably everything that can happen on a court. And when things do arise, good or bad, that's where that veteran influence comes in. And again, not to say that Gasol is not a veteran, because he's played even more games than Rudy Gay, but they're getting a little higher level of performance out of Rudy. And I just think he's happy to be a starter. You know, Popovich has experimented with Gay over the years, last couple of years, both in and out of the starting lineup. And I think he's a solid reserve, too. But I think that starting lineup just meshes better. And then last night, notwithstanding, in Dallas, I think they usually tend to get off to better starts when Rudy's out on the court. Again, you know, I don't know what the heck happened in that first quarter at Dallas, but the good news there was they were able to overcome it. And if you're going to have a bad quarter, it should be the first one. But no, usually Gay is, you know, he's one of those folks that, you know, you can rely on. You know, he's really consistent. He's going to get double digits most nights. He's going to get 6 to 10 rebounds, make a couple nice passes, and play solid defense. And at this point, that's what they need out of arguably their third best player.
He recently reached a milestone in his NBA career, reaching 15,000 points on his time in the NBA. As a matter of fact, Jim, after the game, he was chasing down the game ball. He had to have the game ball on his hand. It just should make you smile, and just as any fan, just to see somebody come back from that injury, which many thought could have been career-ending, now to see him reach this milestone, to see him being a part of a winning team right now in San Antonio, that's got to do wonders for his confidence as well.
Yeah, and he didn't get most of those points here, you know, but that's fine. Yeah. Not everybody's going to start and finish their career with one team, as we've come to learn with some of the folks that were on the Silver and Black recently.
Yeah,
I think Rudy's very happy with where he's at. I'm sure in his mind he'd like to finish his career here. And the team's performing when he's on the court. This year they're 10 games over 500 when Rudy Gay plays. And since there are 6 games over 500 overall, that means when he doesn't play, by my math, they're probably 4 games under. So good for him, and good for the team to identify this veteran who, again, I'm not going to say he's the MVP on the team, but boy, you could sure make a case for him being in the top 3, certainly behind Aldridge and DeRozan in terms of value to the overall operation. And that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. You know, I don't think Rudy Gay will ever, as far as team MVP, reach Pirtle status. So Jim, let's calm down.
That's a pretty high bar. Yeah, that's way up there. That's almost 7 foot off the ground.
I'm getting aside. No, Rudy Gay has been so important for San Antonio. We saw that during the Spurs, sputtering of late. You know, they lost 2 games in a row. DeMar looking out of sorts. You know, his shot. You know, I don't know if that's attributed just simply not having Gay on the court, but obviously there was just something off with this team. He comes back, Rudy, that is, and the Spurs pull out a great come from behind win versus Dallas. And I think that's what the Spurs need. They need their full complement of players, and Rudy is so important for that. Is there any room for improvement for him as the season goes on, or just pretty much Rudy, just be Rudy?
Well, A, stay healthy, improve in that area, don't miss any more games. And B, at the start of the year, he was throwing 3-pointers in near league-leading levels. Mm-hmm. And he's leveled back off. I think he's about 41% now, which is still impressive. So if he can continue to shoot the 3 when it's there, he's not taking as many lately. I think that's a role for some of the other guys to play. You know, when you've got guys like Davis Bertans, filling up like he is from 3-point range, and Bellinelli and Patty Mills. I mean, they've got a wide variety of 3-point shooters, but when it's there, Gay can take it as well. So that, it's an area, not to force it, but if he's open, people come out on him, then he's able to drive around him. He always has interesting matchups, too. You know, some nights he's going up against taller players. Some nights he's guarding, small forwards, power forwards. It's just a real wide variety of assignments he gets, and I think he handles them all, professionally and flawlessly. So I just like his overall court game, and we haven't even mentioned his demeanor, his collegiality with his teammates, and I think that's important, too. You want to be a good clubhouse guy. And because he's been there, and we talked at the start of the year, he was a calming influence when DeRozan got here, somebody that was consulted for what it was going to be like to be a Spur. And with each new player, they're going to maybe find themselves in Pop's doghouse, and there's Rudy Gay. Maybe talk him through it, the role that that Manu and Tony Parker and Tim Duncan used to play. I don't want to say that Gay's an elder statesman. He's only been here a couple of years, but he's got experience in the league, and he's been through all kinds of situations. So I think for younger players, he's a good ear to bend if they've got an issue. So I think that adds even more value to what we've already talked about that he can do on the court.
Indeed, Rudy Gay has been such an impact player for San Antonio, as Jim was describing. We didn't like to see him go out with that left wrist injury, but he is back. And hopefully, as Jim mentioned, he will stay healthy. And not only that, Jim, he's also good off the court. And he's opening up now fitness gyms in Florida, and I believe Maryland. I think that's where he is born and raised. So he definitely has his hands on everywhere. But as far as San Antonio is concerned, you know, good to see him back and posting numbers, and hopefully the Spurs will continue their winning ways. Hey, they're on a one-game winning streak. Yay! So hopefully they'll get a win tonight versus Minnesota. Okay, so Jim and I are going to take our first break. We get back, we're going to be talking about a possible end of an era in San Antonio. We are back, and I'm joined by Jim Lefko, my colleague at News 4 San Antonio. Follow him on Twitter, at Jim Lefko. Jim, before we talk about the next big segment, just a quick aside, what more can you say about Tim Duncan? I'm serious. You know, this guy, for those of you who have not heard, just simply go to the Spurs Zone, News 4 San Antonio, Fox 29, SanAntonio.com. Tim Duncan drives up to the west side of San Antonio, unannounced, no press, no fanfare, starts handing out food to the needy, packs up and leaves. And fortunately, somebody in San Antonio caught that on camera, took a few snapshots of him. I what more can this guy do? He's a saint, Jim. He's a saint.
Well, what's neat is, you know, a lot of folks in pro sports do, you know, quite a bit of charity work, and they're quick to call the media, and they want to make sure that they get noticed for that. I think that's sometimes the motivation, you know, to get some positive press in a way that they can kind of, you know, manufacture the setting. In this instance, it's the exact opposite. If you were to talk to Tim Duncan, and that's not going to happen because he doesn't do media very often, he would say that the last thing he wants is for word to get out that he's going to do something of that nature. He does have a heart of gold. He does a lot of benevolent work. You know, what he did during the hurricane, and flying down to the Virgin Islands and taking all kinds of food down there to help the folks that were affected by that. You know, he's just one of those guys who's got a heart of gold. He lives in San Antonio. And he wants to do better by the community here. And he understands the role he plays in this community. He's not, again, a big fan of media attention, but it's pretty cool when word does get out every once in a while about something that he does for the less fortunate. So he's not a, you know, an on-the-court hero anymore, but his off-the-court exploits might one day rival what he's able to do for this team on the court.
Yeah. For those of y'all, again, who have not seen it, go to the Spurs Zone, News 4 San Antonio, Fox29SanAntonio.com. You can see it for yourself or read all about it. It's there. And check out what Timmy's doing for the community of San Antonio. All right, Jim, well, you know, we're talking about one end of an era. You know, that would be Tim Duncan. Now we're going to talk about, I guess, is it safe to say maybe the final piece of the Spurs Big Three era, and that is Greg Popovich. There was a news article, well, actually not a news, a column, I guess, from Mark Stein of the New York Times. And so apparently it looks like Stein and Pop had a little chat, and Stein asked him, so, you know, you're coaching next year? And in so many words, Popovich says, I don't know. I don't have an answer. Jim, he is in his final contract of an extension he signed in 2014. This could quite possibly be it. Your reaction, Jim?
Well, there's a couple things to think about. He's going to turn 70 later this month, and that's old by NBA standards. I think that puts him in pretty elite company. I think there's only three other coaches that have coached in their 70s. He's also third on the all-time win list with 1,223, I believe it is right now, about 110 or so behind Don Nelson, who's first, and Lenny Wilkins, who's in the middle there. Some might think that Pop would want to stay around long enough to become number one all time. But that would take, assuming he wins 20 to 25 more games this year, and then peg him at 50 for the next couple, he'd need two more seasons after this one. And Pop not being one to just chase records for record's sake, I've always thought that the end was near. And it would not surprise me at all if he walked away after this season, if only because the Olympics, you know, the 2020 Olympics is going to require a lot of his time and attention. And at some point, he's going to, you know, want to turn his focus to international basketball. That's very hard to do when you're coaching an NBA season and you're 70 years old. I think it's up to him, though. You know, you mentioned the contract extension that expires after the season. If he wants to coach another 5 years, I'm sure they'd be happy to have him. So after the season, he'll sit down, he'll talk with R.C. Buford and others in the front office and decide if, you know, he feels like he wants to keep doing this. Selfishly, you know, I'm sure most Spurs fans think and hope that he comes back and gets DeJounte Murray and everybody else next year and then, you know, coaches what should be a very promising season. But if he chooses to leave, I think you have to, you know, respect that decision. There's plenty of candidates on the bench to take over for him, and they could certainly look outside the organization as well. So it's an exciting time to see what might happen. But as you know, Greg Popovich, he'll make that announcement when he's good and ready. And until then, the rest of us can just speculate until we turn green, and it's not going to affect him at all.
Yeah, he recently hit a milestone this season, becoming the third all-time winningest NBA coach. He passed Jerry Sloan, which he's always said that's been his idol. That's kind of the guy that he's always looked up to as far as NBA head coaching. But you're right, 70 years old, that is old. You got to factor in, obviously, the retirement of Tim Duncan a few seasons ago, Monta Ginobili this past season. Parker's is in Charlotte now. This is a new team, a new generation. But there's also the death of his wife recently. You kind of wonder if that also plays a factor in his decision moving forward, Jim.
Sure, that is definitely a factor. He's alone now. But I don't think he's the kind of man who's going to spend too much time alone in his house.
Right.
I just think it's one of these things that, age catches up with everybody. There's a lot of trips to Sacramento and Orlando and places like that that, it's not all glitz and glamour. And men spend a lot of time on an airplane. So I think it'd be totally up to him to choose when he wants to, say that's been enough. I think one thing to look at, too, is we look at numbers a bit. Again, he's about 112 wins away from Don Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
What really astounds me, and we talked about this earlier this year, is Pop has only lost 561 games, which might seem like a lot, but he's only about 100 away from Nelson, and Nelson lost over 1,000 games.
Wow.
So Lenny Wilkins lost over 1,100 games, and Wilkins is number two in wins. So not only is Pop closing in on the all-time win record, but he's so far away from those two guys when it comes to losses, and that's because his winning percentage is so high. He's won 69% of the regular season games he's coached, and that's the most astounding statistic I think there is, that almost 7 out of every 10 games he's coached, he's won. And, boy, that's a legacy probably even more impressive than the total win count, because if he wanted to coach till he was 80, he'd be the number one coach of all time, and nobody would ever touch it. But, again, I don't think that's what drives him. I think it's just the passion to put a good team on the court, and if he does choose to leave after the season, the cupboard's not bare by any stretch of the imagination. Again, with Murray coming back next year, another rookie coming in, there's talent, there's veteran talent here, there's Lonnie Walker. I think whoever were to take over this team next year, again, hopefully it's Pop, but if it's someone else, it's still a quality team that should be a prime contender to, go to the playoffs again. So unlike some places where a coach leaves and you got to start all over and rebuild, I don't think they'd be in that situation at all here.
He has nothing more to prove, Jim. I mean, what more does a man have to prove? He has NBA titles to his name. He has Coach of the Year awards to his name. He's coached the Western All-Star team. He's been there, done that. He's seen the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. And, he's seen maybe perhaps, I don't know, maybe you may disagree with this, but would you rank maybe what happened with Kawhi Leonard as maybe one of the lowest points in his career?
Sure. Definitely. And in the list of accomplishments, the five rings certainly speak for themselves. But the one thing he hasn't done has been a head coach that won an Olympic gold medal. And again, if that becomes his focus, that's certainly the goal in 2020 when he's the Olympic coach. So the more time he can devote to that, it's not just learning the U.S. roster. And, he knows NBA talent pretty well. There's no surprise who the superstars are. But I think, wanting to scout the international game. There's a lot of players in a lot of different continents that while he may not go see them directly, he's certainly going to want to look at film on these guys. And who knows, with his penchant for travel, maybe he will want to scout out some of the top European and South American and players in Africa and every other continent, because he's always prepared. And I think this is the next great challenge. So it would not surprise me at all if he wants to devote more time toward equipping himself to be the best Olympic coach that he can be.
Buford, in that same article via the New York Times, said that Popovich can coach as long as he wants. So Buford is completely on board. Hopefully, Popovich will make his decision. But if he does decide to sail off into the sunset, I kind of foresee a Jim going down the way maybe Duncan did it, maybe Monta Ginobili did it, just a quick note, and that's it. The only difference was Mono. He did a press conference. Timmy didn't really do that at all. He just, put something out there for the Spurs PR, and they just, leaked it out for all fans to read. Popovich, I think, could do the same thing, too. I wouldn't be surprised if I see his retirement announcement just be a photo of him and Duncan on the beach in the Virgin Islands going full circle to how they first met, Jim.
Yeah, that'd be a classy way to go out. To be honest, I don't think he's spending a lot of time thinking about how he's going to make that speech. I think the decision is, do I or don't I? And then, it would probably be simpler, certainly rather than grandiose. I would think there'd be a statement of some sort. But, again, he wouldn't be retiring if it does happen after the season from basketball, because he's still got the international game to keep him busy. So, in San Antonio, it will be, cataclysmic. It's huge. It's the end of an era. Internationally, he's still going to be front and center. So he's still got a lot of basketball left to coach, and let's just hope that the end is, not imminent. But, he is 70. He's not going to coach, I wouldn't think, more than a couple of years past this season anyway. So, for Spurs fans, you kind of need to get ready for what's coming, just like when Duncan passed the age of 35 or 36,
right,
and Manu and everyone else. It's just, you can't do this forever. And they got these guys in their prime, and that's what's to be treasured and appreciated.
Well, Jim and I, we're going to take our final break. We get back, we're going to put a wrap on this episode of Locked On Spurs. All right, we are back, and I'm joined by my colleague, Jim Lefko, over at News 4 San Antonio. Jim, real briefly, before we put a wrap on this show, would it surprise you if maybe Popovich does retire, but he still maintains some sort of role within the organization, maybe something like in behind the scenes, a consultant role?
Yeah, that's a possibility. I guess the thing I would think about there is who becomes the head coach. If it's somebody that he either doesn't know or is from outside of the organization, that might be a distraction, to have the veteran, the legend, right there in the same building.
Yeah.
If it's somebody that was one of his proteges, and there are a lot of them around that would be candidates for this job, it might be a little different scenario. So I think that could play into it. I mean, my guess would be that it'd be a clean break, and that the reason he'd be retiring would be to focus his efforts, on the Olympic effort. So certainly an RC could call him or whoever the next coach was. But if I had to guess, I would think that it'd be a clean break.
Mm-hmm.
While he might maintain his residence here, I think he would become a global coach and then try to figure out the world stage and how the U.S. fits in it and what he can do to bring home a gold medal.
How awesome would it be to see one day in the future Timmy, Manu, Tony, and Popovich's names hanging side by side up on the AT&T Center rafters, Jim?
Well, that'd be cool. And I think we're going to see it. And
what
would be cooler is to have all those guys in the building at the same time talking about it.
Yeah.
letting us a little window into the private relationships that they've all dealt with each other, because that's a fascinating part of Spurs history. And, again, we're talking about it like it's in the past tense. Certainly, the Big Three era is over.
Yeah.
And I think you hit it on the head earlier. When Pop decides to retire, I think that'll be the official end of things, even though the actual on-court, Big Three has been gone for a while. But, yeah, he is the last vestige of all those championships. And it was a great era. And, again, we don't need to put it in the coffin just yet.
Yeah.
I think we've still got some exciting basketball ahead of us. But, the end is coming. And whether it'll be this year or next year or a couple of years from now, I think, we all know that it's imminent.
I'm not trying to look too much in the future, because you're right. We don't know what's going to happen. Popovich, he could just come out tomorrow and just say, oh, no, I'll be back. What's the problem? He's simply like that. But if that night ever comes, and when it does come, and they raise Popovich's name to the rafters, do you think Kawhi's going to get an invitation to the event?
I don't think he'll be showing up. But as we talked about before, Pop is going to coach Kawhi in the Olympics.
Yeah.
And while we like to laugh about that, I think they've I don't want to say repaired any damage, because I'm not sure that there was damage, but I think they certainly had a difference of opinion, but I think they're buddies.
Yeah.
You saw that on the court after the game when they hugged and talked, and there'll be other interactions. And then when it comes to time to put that Olympic team together and coach them, as I understand it, Kawhi is excited to play on that team,
mm-hmm.
and I think Pop will be excited to coach him again. So it might even be easier for Pop if he's not affiliated with the Spurs anymore to take that relationship with Kawhi to another level.
That would be great to see. And, but until then, there's still plenty of Spurs basketball / Popovich patrolling the sidelines, barking at media, barking at his teammates. I'm sorry, not his teammate, but his players and coaching. So, there's still a lot of Pop to love. Jim, before we put a close on this, I want to briefly touch on your weekly column over at the Spurs Zone. It was pretty fun. It was like what we know, what we don't know about the Spurs team. Do you want to talk about it?
Sure. The fun thing about doing columns like that is As opposed to relying totally on statistics, you can kind of go with your gut and what you think you know. And in this instance, you know, a lot of it's obvious stuff. You know, you can look at the record. You can look at the scoring leaders. You can look at who you think's having an all-star year. But then there's the great unknown. And to me, the fascinating thing about this season is we don't know from night to night who we're going to see.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I would have bet big money that you know, the Spurs would have beat Charlotte. I think Charlotte was at the end of a five-game road trip, ready to get home. Spurs had been playing really good basketball. And yet that one was there to be won in the fourth quarter, and they didn't do it. And I also would not have expected the Spurs to win in Dallas. Mavericks have been a really good home court team. When the Spurs are down, what, 20 points in the first quarter, you're thinking, well, well, they just didn't show up tonight. Hope it isn't another one of those 30-point losses like they had back in 2018. And what happens, they turn it on, they have a great second, third, and fourth quarter, and pull out a really nice road victory.
Yeah.
So that unpredictability is what, to me, is fun, and what we don't know about this team. You know, we don't know if it's a contender to finish third in the West. Right now, I think they're only a game and a half back of Oklahoma City. So that's a nice spot to be in. But they're also a losing streak away from being down there under the cut line.
Yeah.
And maybe falling out of the playoffs. So it makes every game interesting. And for NBA fans, that's enjoyable. It'd be nice to know that they're just going to show up and beat some of these lower quality teams, but that's not the case in today's NBA, nor is it the case with the Spurs. So to sum up, I love the fact that we don't know from night to night necessarily what we're going to see, and that's what the beauty of sports is all about. And the Spurs season has been a very enjoyable one for me anyway to follow because of all those reasons.
Yeah, it's a great read. You should definitely go check it out over at the Spurs Zone News for San Antonio, Fox 29 San Antonio. As always, I always mention this, so I'm going to say it again. Jim's work is there. My work is there. The rest of the crew, they put in some work. It's all there, the Spurs Zone. You want Spurs coverage, you got it. Just simply go there. I'm telling you, not simply because I help out and I work there, but it really is a great, great site if you need everything for your silver and black fix. Spurs Zone News for San Antonio, Fox 29 San Antonio. And while I got your ear, make sure to check out all the Locked On NBA podcasts over at the Locked On NBA Podcast Network. If you have a smart speaker, just tell that smart speaker Locked On Spurs and it'll play. From the Celtics to the Bulls to the Knicks to the Nets, every team is covered there at the Locked On NBA Network. And hopefully the next time, Jim, you're on, you're going to tell us exactly what your resume looks like when you apply for job for Pop's job, when he does call it.
That will be one job I'm not applying for. I'll be your assistant. How about that?
There you go. Yeah. All right. Oh, and Jim, you want to tell the listeners how they can contact you?
Yeah, follow me at Jim Lefkoe on Twitter, and that's a good way to catch up on back columns, too. Sometimes on the website, it's hard to scroll down that deep to find them because we have so much more new material. But, you know, find us on Twitter, and there's usually a link not too far back to see those most recent stories. So we're always happy to engage with the readers and let us know what you think.
And there you go. Make sure to give Jim a follow. As for me, follow me on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone, or email me at jeffgarcia74@gmail.com. And real briefly, yes, I know audio issues have been kind of a bane in everybody's side, a thorn in everybody's side right now, but I'm trying my best. Hopefully moving forward, I can figure out a solution. But, you know, work life, accommodating people kind of gets to you, but trying my best every day. So I appreciate your patience, listeners. And hey, if anything, Jim, last night's episode was done on top quality sound quality. So hey,
there you go.
But for Jim Lefkoe, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.